just went straight up in there, like 20 yards.
All right. Good morning. It's good to see everyone. There's more sheets over here, over there. Dr. Schoenfeld told me over Shabbos that he asked me, what's the difference between a Rav in Poland and a Rav in the United States? So he said that they used to say that a Rav in Poland had to check tefillin. He said, in the United States, we have to check batim. So, but maybe we could be Masa Terli Yoshin a little bit and to talk about tefillin, if not the other parts of tefillin, at least perhaps the tefillin batim. The mitzvah of tefillin appears four times in the Torah, twice in this week's parasha, the pasuk of Kadosh Likol Bechor, and then V'haya Kiviyecha, twice at the end of the parasha in the context of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then again in parashas Veschanon, with the parasha of Shema and V'ahavta, then in parashas Ekev with V'haya Im Shamaya. So it appears these four times in the Torah, which in this coming week's parasha. And if I wanted, it's a mitzvah that we do every day, which unfortunately sometimes gets neglected. So perhaps to focus on at least one aspect of the tefillin, the mitzvah that we do every day, and at least the tefillin batim. So the pasuk tells us in this week's parasha, v'haya lo'ayis al yadcha u'l'chaytafos bein einecha, that it should be a sign on your hand, but it's b'lashon yachid. So the Gemara infers from that, the Gemara Masechtas Menachos over here, and Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis infers from that, and the last line, Tana Rabbanan Ketzad Kaisan Tefillin Shoyad Kaisan Alor Echad, that the parashas of the all four parashas of the Tefillin, the two in this week's parasha, Parasha Shema, Parasha Vayom Shemoah, is what appears in both the Tefillin Shoyad and the Tefillin Shorosh. But in the Tefillin Shoyad, it should be written on one parasha, and it should be put in a singular bias, in one compartment. However, the pasuk states in connection with the tefillin shel rosh, "Will toitafos bein einecha." So toitafos, the Gemara assumes over here in the first line of Ois Aleph Lamed Aleph Beis that refers to something in the plural, and it refers specifically to four compartments. How do you derive four from the word "toitafos"? So the opinion of Rabbi Kiva is "tat" means two, and "pas" means two, from some comparison to foreign languages. So "tas" means two, and "pas" means two. It literally means four. The opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that it's derived from the fact that the Torah uses the word the toitafos three times, two times without a vav, which implies one, and one time with a vav, which implies two. So from there we derive le toitafos, you know, two times without a vav, which is one plus one, then one time with a vav, which implies more than one, which implies two. So from there we derive four compartments for the tefillin shel rosh. Why should, and each one of the parshas is written on a separate piece of parchment, as opposed to in the tefillin shel yad, where there's only one compartment, it's all written in one piece of parchment. Here it's written on four pieces of parchment placed in each one of these compartments. Why should there be four compartments in the tefillin shel rosh and only one in the tefillin shel yad? So it's gzeiras hakasav, obviously, and most of Hilchos Tefillin, we'll see, is not even going to be gzeiras hakasav. It's any more so than almost any area of halach, any mitzvah in the Torah is based on halach l'moshe misinai, is tradition. However, there perhaps is some additional significance. The Prisha suggests perhaps it's because we are subjugating all of our senses to the Ribbono Shel Olam by putting on the mitzvah of Tefillin, and in our hand we only have one of the five senses, the sense of touch. In our head, we have the other four, the smell, sight, taste, and hearing. So those four are represented by the four compartments that we have in the tefillin shel rosh, that we subjugate those and dedicate those also to the service of the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, the Gemara says, the one pasuk says in this week's parasha, V'haya lo'ois al yadcha ulu taitafos ben einecha, and then the other pasuk says, V'haya lo'ois al yadcha ulu zikaron ben einecha. So it should be a sign on your arm and a remembrance between your eyes on your head. But that is not Beloshin Rabbim, that's Beloshin Yachid. So before it was Ulu Toitafes Ben Einecha, that's four compartments, but it also says Ulu Zikaron Ben Einecha, one remembrance. So how do you negotiate that? So the Gemara says there should be four compartments, but it should all be on Or Echad. The Gemara says over here in the second line of Vayisalef, Tana Rabbanan Yachol Yichtavim Al Dalet Ores V'Yanichem B'Dalet Batim B'Dalet Ores. Maybe it should be four, not compartments, but four batim, four separate items. Tamulo maru zikaron ben einecha, zikaron echad amarti l'chavelo beiz v'gimel zichrona. So it should be one remembrance, one unit, one bias that has four compartments. But this or echad, this one unit, one item that we wear on our head, with four compartments, it has to be or echad. Does that mean it has to be made out of one solid piece of skin? Or it can be made out of multiple pieces of skin that were glued or sewn together? So that's a suffix. Again, four compartments, one item. So is that one item, which is or echad, one piece of skin? Does it literally have to be one piece of skin, or can it be joined together through sewing or through glue? So the Beis Yosef quotes over here from the Sefer HaTrumah, a suffix about this. It's enough if they're sewn together. In some areas of halacha, sewing together or gluing together is considered to be one item. In Hilchos Shabbos, it's considered to be one item. In other areas of halacha, with regards to mezuzah, it's not considered to be one item. It literally has to be one piece of skin with a parchment of a mezuzah. So how should we compare this halacha of tefillin? Should it be more comparable to Shabbos, more comparable to mezuzah? Is the suffix of the Sefer HaTrumah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes over here that the Magen Avraham and some Sefer were of the opinion that sewing together should be considered to be one item, but if it's just glued together, then it's not considered to be one item. So you couldn't take multiple pieces of hide and glue them together in order to make it one unit in the tefillin shel rosh. In the Tanoim, in the document that we signed before the Ksuba, the Chassan's Tish, which just really reflects the fact that both parties are agreeing to go through with the wedding, so there's usually a few introductory phrases that are part of the boilerplate of the Tanoim. So one of them is, Va'omer la'devek toiv. It's good to get together, to be a couple, to have, you know, to get married, it'll enhance both parties. Va'omer la'devek toiv, coming together is good. So the Sam Sofer writes in this context, Ve'eino omer la'devek toiv. He says, when it comes to tefillin, devek, glue, is not a good thing. He says, it's better if it's sewn together. Yes, if they're glued together, it's not considered to be or echad. However, then the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chai Odom. On the second line over here, Vayis Gimel, Aval Beches Salaf, B'Chai Odom, Mashma, Du'a Dinim Haim, Devukos B'Devek. Even if they're glued together, V'chein is Pashat Ata, Minig B'Mdina Seinu. He says that was the minig, was not to use one solid piece of skin, but rather to use multiple pieces of hide that were glued together. He says it's better to make it, of course, from one piece of skin. There are those who hold that the glue is no good. But that was the opinion of the Chai Odom, is that it can be glued together. And he says that was the minig poshet. I remember when I was getting my bar mitzvah tefillin, which is now this year, 30 years ago. So I remember there were other, I wasn't given choices, you know, as a typical bar mitzvah kid, but I remember the guy telling us there were multiple possibilities. It was what they called pshutis. Tefillin pshutis were multiple pieces of skin that were glued together, simple tefillin. Then there was dakis, which was made out of the hide of small animals, goats or ram. And then there was tefillin gasis, which was made out of a bull or an ox, a cow's cow skin, which is a thicker skin. They make it out of the face and the neck, which is more malleable. But there were three options. There was pshutas, though, that were glued together. And that's what the Chai Odom is discussing. He says that was the minig, was to use pshutas. Nowadays, these things, if you find that you see a cheap pair of tefillin on eBay or online or someone selling you a cheap, that's less than $500. You're either talking about pshutas or it's dakis. And that's, nowadays, it's almost, you can't even find it. The only thing that they discuss is presented to a bar mitzvah bocher is tefillin gasis. But this used to be the minig, so that was based on the Pesach of the Chai Odom that one could glue the oiris together, and that would be considered to be or echad. If you are going to glue, though, the different pieces of the hide together, so you have to be very careful about something else, because we mentioned already that the four, even though it has to be or echad, this filling shorosh has to be four compartments. L'toy tafos ben einecha. Either means, it literally means four, from the fact that it's used numerous times in the Torah, implies that it has to be four compartments. So these have to be four separate things, even though they're part of one unit, one piece of skin, it has to be four separate things. So the Gemara looked back at Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, Ois Aleph, the Gemara says on the third line, V'shavin shenoisein chut o meshicha ben korachas v'yachas, you have to place a thread, a string. And what you're going to use to sew the tefillin, which is the gidin from an animal, the sinews of an animal, have to run in between the four separate compartments of the tefillin shorosh. Vim ein charitza nikar psulos. And if there's no indentation in between the four separate compartments, then it's pasul. So you have to have some demarcation that these are considered to be four compartments, either through the stitching or both through the, there should be a string that runs through in between them, and there should be some kind of demarcation. How much of a demarcation is enough? So that's a discussion later on in the Gemara. Look over here, Ois Dalin. The Gemara says on the second line, in the middle of the line, V'tzarech shiyagia charitz l'makom ha'tofar. So the indentation that runs in between each one of the four compartments of the tefillin has to run on top and all the way down on the sides, down to the stitching. Then the Gemara quotes from Rab Dimi, Minardo, Amar Kevin, Demin Kolot Tzarech. No, if it's on the top, you can see that it's four compartments, even though it doesn't round down all the way to the sides, that should also still be okay. But L'chadchila, we're making like that, but L'chadchila, which is on all of our tefillin, there's an indentation that runs throughout the all four compartments of the tefillin, down to the stitching, and there should be a string that runs in between the four batim. The Nemuke Yosef even claims, we're going to get to this in a minute, but the Nemuke Yosef even claims that this is what the Gemara refers to when it says Mavarta. If you look at the top line of Ois Dalin, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanano, Amar Rav Tisura de Tefillin, Halakha Moshe Misinai. We'll explain what that is. V'amar Abaye, Mavarta de Tefillin, Halakha Moshe Misinai. What is the Mavarta? We're going to explain what most assume it is, but the Nemuke Yosef claims over here in the brackets, Mavarta means like a pass-through, something that's going through something else. Mavarta here refers to the string that runs in between the four compartments of the Tefillin Shorash. So that's critical as well. So they have to distinguish between these four compartments through a string, and there should be an indentation there as well. Because the string is critical to distinguishing between the four compartments, there are those who are machmer now, this is a chumer now in Hilchos Tefillin, that you should be able to see the string. Sometimes the string gets covered over through the paint and all of this. So they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv that it's a nice chumer that you should be able to see the string, because the whole point is to distinguish between the four compartments, that it shouldn't be viewed as one thing. But you have these four compartments that are supposed to be demarcated with these indentations to show that it's four things. At the same time, we're going to get to in a second, the tefillin have to be square. So you want them to be pressed together, but they also have to be four compartments. So how do you keep all of them together while being four compartments? So a nice way to do it would be glue. The problem is, if you're going to glue the four compartments together, so now, is it really four compartments, or is it really, did it all become one? So this goes back to the issue, well, what is the status if you glue things together? So Chayyadim says, look, you can't get caught, you know, having your cake and eating it too. He said, if you're going to make your tefillin out of pshutis, multiple pieces of hide that are glued together, we're going to assume that that's one skin and one unit, so then you cannot glue the four batim together. So look back at the Mishnah Berurah, Gim on the third line at the end. V'ayim b'chayyadim dal kopanim tzichin shiyu hadalet batim prudos zeh mizeh v'lo yeh midubakin. It shouldn't be so close together. And v'lo k'mo shosin ha'sofish madvikin alidei devek rak shalomala oisin simonim. He said it can't be that it's glued together and they just make a mark at the top k'mo chariz ba'alma the tzarchinim lahachshu afil b'diyevet m'manavshach. He says, how can he was making tefillin with pshutas? So he says, you can't glue the four things together because m'manavshach. If it's our echad and it satisfies that requirement, then you don't have four batim. You don't have four compartments. Imanu chayish ma'idei dibak ar echad imkein ein lanu obayis achas v'sechad al mechitzas the puzzle. You only have one item here, not four separate compartments. Vim ein devik oisor echad. You'll say, no, glue doesn't make it into one. V'yesh kadal batim, dal charitzim, because the glue doesn't matter, but then you don't have or echad. You don't have that uzikaron v'nein echad. It has to be one unit. So the Chayyadim claims it's questionable if one can use glue in between the dalet compartments. He quotes that the Vilna Gaon had no glue at all. He says at the end over here, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, v'chein ha'tfilin she'agro ha'yu prudos. They were literally separate from one another. But then the Chayyadim tries to work something out over here because the minig was to use glue in both places. So Chayyadim and others who always are trying to be matzik, the minig ha'olam, the Kashuk Glover has this in the Chuvas Eretz Tzvi, who has many Chuvas just to be matzik many times in minig ha'olam. And Rav Shlomo Zalman has this as well, that maybe since there are charitzim, there are indentations, and there is string running in between them, even if they are glued together, maybe it is considered to be four compartments, because it appears as four compartments, but part of one unit. So maybe we can kvetch somehow that it is four compartments, but zikaron echad. Maybe the glue doesn't actually make it into one, but it makes it into one remembrance. It's not one item, but one remembrance. We could kind of split hairs in this fashion. But it's a somewhat of a difficult issue. The Bir Halacha quotes over here, though, that the Chassam Sofer held, over here, Oishei, longer be halacha. But he quotes from the Chassam Sofer that no, the Chassam Sofer held the shitasai. But ein oimer ledevek toiv. Devek does not make it into one item, and therefore the shitasai, the Chassam Sofer held that you can glue the four compartments together, and you should do it because that way it stays, you know, maintains the shape of the integrity of the square of the merubos, which the tefillin is supposed to be square. It maintains it better than integrity if it's glued together. But maybe we should be chayshish for the chay adam l'chumra. So the Bir Halacha writes at the end, what is the minhag ha'olam in our times, which is that they put a little bit of glue towards the bottom, in between these four compartments, which are really separate compartments, in order to put them close together. First of all, they use a press, you know, a mechanical press, but also they put a little bit of glue towards the bottom. So the Bir Halacha claims if you don't glue the entire thing, even the chay adam would agree that it's not considered to be one item if there's only a little bit of glue towards the bottom. But there really should not be glue running all the way up in between the four compartments to be chayshish for the chayodim, that that's considered to be one item. What the Bir Halacha, though, does complain about, and this is a real issue in our tefillin as well, is that oftentimes the sefer will push, the batamacha will push the things together, and then they kind of lose where the line is between the different compartments. So they make artificial charitzim on top to kind of make it look like these is the exact place where the four compartments are, but it really doesn't correspond below to where they are. So they call that charitzim mizuyofim. They're fake indentations. So that is a problem, and there was a famous batamacher who was doing this, and hundreds of pairs of tefillin were made like this, and it's totally possible, because the pasuk says, l'taytofas, 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 it has to be four compartments, and it has to be obvious as such. It's zikaron echad with four compartments. So there are seifrim, this is, you know, beyond my area of expertise, but there are seifrim who can check for you if it's either glued to the top or, you know, it doesn't correspond to the line demarcating the, you know, the compartments below by taking a razor blade and inserting it in between the four compartments to check. There are seifrim who know how to do that. But you have to be if you cut the wrong spot, you just puzzle. You know, they might even cut you before, now they're a puzzle. But they can tell if it's glued all the way up to the top or it's just paint, which is, you know, fine. That's what all of our tefillin are. But if it's glued up to the top, it's no good. Or they could tell if it's charitzim mizuyaf, in which case the tefillin are puzzle.
What held the tefillin of the grot together without any damage?
They push the skin, and then the skin dries, so it stays. But you're right. It will ultimately, as we're going to see from the other parts of the tefillin, will ultimately open, and you could create a problem. What's considered to be, though, the batim? What is included in the bayis? So the Gemara tells us over here, Meshechtas Menachas, Lamed Hei Amed Aleph, Ha'iz Dalet, that Amar Rav, Tisura de Tefillin Halach L'Moshe Misinai. What is the Tisura? So the part of the Tefillin that protrudes, that holds the Parashias, is called the Kitzitza. That's not the language of the Gemara, but that's the language that the later Achreinim use. It's called the Kitzitza. And the base of the Tefillin, they call the Tisura. That's from the Gemara. That's the base. That's halach l'moish misina, that you have to have that base as well. V'amar abai, or the lid to keep the parashios inside. So amar abai, mavarta the tefillin halach l'moish misina. And the fact that in the back of the tisura, there's a part where the ritsua runs through, the straps run through, that's, you know, the pass-through, like to be the Eva Yardin, you know, the mavarta, so that's behind the tisura. So are those considered to be part of the bias, or are they not part of the bias? And the tisura has two parts, obviously. There's an upper part of the base and a lower part of the base, and those are sewn together. So is that considered to be part of the bias or not part of the bias? If you look at that gemara over there, Tysus in the brackets, maybe the fifth line, he has a machlokes between himself and Rashi, whether that has to be one piece of skin together with the kitzitza, with the upper part of the bias, or not. Well, that's a separate piece of skin. So he says, "Hu ha'ar hanichpa l'mata shemechase pi abatim," says Tosis. That's the base, which is going to close, you know, up the base of the batim. "Vu base moshavel shol tefillin v'nira kein dav shol gesher." It appears kind of like a plate. "U'mashim v'tok perisha kuntres shabatim atisura hakol meyor echad ve'noin ginken." So Taisa says that Rashi implied that it's all one piece of skin, and Taisa says that wasn't the minig. So according to Rashi, the Mishnah Berurah quotes both opinions. Here, the Shulchan Aruch over here, Oizvav, tells you the entire break, you know, the design of the tefillin, Tisura, the tefillin, Halacha Mishnah Misinai, V'ushayasim or lamata lechasas pi abatim, that goes on the bottom to close up the bottom. And here came daf shel gesher anikra tisura. And then there's the mavar to the tefillin, the pass through of the tefillin where the ritzua goes through. Halach l'moishem isina. That's also halach l'moishem isina. V'hainu sha'or hatisura ya orech mitzarech v'yaseh bo mavarta. The base of the tefillin, of course, a rectangle because you have that extra little bit for the mavar to allow the ritzua to go through. That's not technically part of the tisura of the base of the tefillin. So Mishnah Berura quotes both opinions. Does that have to be one piece of skin? Again, we said the tefillin shorosh have to be one piece of skin. Does the tisura part of that as well or not? So Mishnah Berura quotes both opinions. He says it was opinion of Tisus and not. And he says that there were many who were make like that. Let's say it's machmirim bazeh. It's best to have it all be one piece of skin like Rashi. That's the opinion of the Rambam as well. What are they arguing about? They might be arguing about a very important issue, and that is the tisura part of the batim, and does it have all the halakas of the batim, like it has to be or echad with the batim, or is it not part of the batim? I mean, it's pretty obvious is what they're arguing about. So that could have bearing on a machlokas achronim with regards to how the parshios are inserted into the tefillin. The parshios, of course, of the shel yad have to be inserted into that one compartment, and the parshios of the shel rosh, each one has to be inserted into each separate compartment. So the shel rosh, and then they're rolled together and tied with a piece of hair from a kosher animal and inserted in. So that tefillin shel rosh is a little bit easier because each parsha, if you write on a separate piece of parchment, is pretty short. And then you roll it up and it has to be inserted vertically, you know, that you would be able to read it. You can't insert it horizontally, it has to be vertically. But if it's, you know, one or two lines, you roll it up, put it in, no problem, in terms of the height. The problem with the shel yad is all four written on the same piece of parchment, so it's more lines. So it becomes taller. So does it all have to fit into the bias, or can it, you know, sit a little bit, can the parchment protrude a little bit into the base of the tefillin? You know, maybe hollow it out and have the parchment sitting in the base of the tefillin. So that is a machlokes achronim, which depends, perhaps, on this machlokes harishonim. Is a tisura considered to be part of the bias, in which case the parchment could rest, doesn't have to fully be inserted into the box of the tefillin that protrudes above. The ketzitza could even be sticking into the tisura as well. There was some who would make it like that. Or no, perhaps it all has to be above the tisura, because the tisura is not part of the tefillin. So we said, and that will mean that your shel yad has to be taller than your shel rosh. And there's some who have the tefillin like that. Sometimes you see people have a tefillin that's shel yad, where it's just taller than the shel rosh. That's really a chumrah, because they're being machmir that the parchment should all be inserted into the ketzitza above and should not rest in the tisura below. Most of us don't have that, because we, all of our tefillin are made out of or echad. We assume that the bias includes not just the box, but the base as well. And therefore, l'shit haseinu, we assume that the whole thing is the bias, so the parchment can protrude a little bit into the tisura below. This tisura is made out of two parts, the upper lid, tisura elyon, and tisura tachtoina, and it's sewn together.
It's not part of tefillin, why is it a chesita?
No, it has, it's halach l'moshe misina, but it's not part of the bias that's housing the parshias. Of course, it's part of the tefillin, but it's a part of the bias. So the Gemara says over here in Masechta Shabbos, also halacha l'moshe misinai, that the tefillin have to be sewn together with gidim from a kosher animal. The Gemara says halacha l'moshe misinai she tefillin echrochim besarin v'nitparos begidin. The parshas have to be tied with hair and have to be sewn nitparos begidin with the sinews of a kosher animal. How many times do they sew through and through? So the Gemara never says how many times you're supposed to do it. But the Rishonim called from a Shimusha Rabbah. Shimusha Rabbah is a work by one of the Gaonim on Hilchas Tefillin and Sefer Torah and Mezuzah. And Shimusha Rabbah, which is quoted numerous times in Hilchas Tefillin, he says there's supposed to be 12 stitches corresponding to the 12 Shvatim. So there's three. If you look at your Tefillin, you'll see there's three stitches on each side, each bar of the Tefillin. But that's supposed to be stitched together. So now we come back to the old glue issue. 1 minute. So if it has to be stitched together, can you glue the tisura tachtayin and tisura elyayinah together? So Mishnah Berurah says, over here in the Bir Halacha Eischas, no, you really can't do that. It's halacha l'moshe misinai, that the two parts of the tisura have to be sewn together. If you put glue there, so then you know, this, it's not the sewing that's keeping it together, it's the glue. So he says, shamadu b'ashem echam e'gdolim, shehizah shaloy l'dabek ha-tisura b'devek kodem ha-tfira. It shouldn't be done before sewing. The debek chashiv chibor. Now already, that's considered to be, or as you know, it's considered to be a union of the two, like we brought up the issue before, what is the status of glue? So to be chayshish, for that opinion that glue makes it into one thing, it closes up the tisur elyon, tisur tachtayna, then the stitching is gratuitous, so you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't put glue in before. But he says, it sounds like you could put glue in after. So you sew it together, you put glue in to make it look, you see on our tefillah, and makes it look smooth. Chazon Ish held, he cannot do that. He cannot put glue in at all because it renders the stitching meaningless, purposeless. It makes it gratuitous after, you know, even though it was already done and when it was done it was necessary, by putting in the glue, you've rendered the stitching gratuitous and you don't need it anymore and therefore it undoes the stitching. Others argue, no, you stitched it first. Well, how can the glue, undermine the stitching that was there first? But that's the opinion of the Chazon Ish, and there are many who are chayshish for that. So that's why they won't glue at all. So if you see sometimes it's filling an opening, in the middle of the tefillin, you can already see the tisur elyon, tisur tachton is separating from one another. Some hold, some say from my life, that's a good sign, because that means the tefillin were not glued together. If it stays together, that probably means the cipher inserted some glue. That's the only way it possibly stays together. Naturally, they're going to pull apart. So he inserted some glue to hold it together, which is like the opinion of the Mishnah Berurah. That's okay. Mikra Din. But there are those who are chayshish for the Chazon Ish not to have any glue at all. So if it separates, it's not a problem at all. That's the way that's what happens naturally with the skin.
Did they call it Tiyach
Batfil? Huh?
Tiyach Batfil is
to call it. The glue? It's a special type of glue. It's not Elmer's glue. It's a glue that's made from with hides of the skin of the animal. So it's not. Some people like to fix it; it should look nicer, but it really is not a problem. Okay. So the Gemara though tells us, look back at Oiz Dalin, that the tefillin have to be merubos. Where is it? Have to be square. Here at the end of the second line of Oiz Dalin, Tana tefillin merubos halachim loish misina. It has to be square. Amar of Papa betafron ubalachson. The stitching. And the alachson, the diagonal as well. You could have something that has four equal sides, but is a trapezoid. I don't know if you would call it an isosceles trapezoid, but you can have four equal sides that are not at a right angle to each other. So here, when we say merubos, that means not only that all four sides have to be of equal length, but also that they have to be at a right angle with one another. That's only width and length. But not necessarily height, which we'll get to, in a second. So, but what has to be merubos? What has to be square? So, Rav Papa said betafron, the stitching. But even before that, the Braisa said no, the tefillin. So, is it the tefillin and the stitching, or is the tefillin referring to the stitching? This might again hinge on that issue we brought up before. Is the tisura part of the bottom of the tefillin itself, or is the tisura something else? So when the Bryce initially said tefillin have to be merubos, it was Rav Papa coming to explain which part of the tefillin, the tisur, because the tisur is part of the bottom, the base, and it's only the stitching which has to be square, and the base that has to be square, or does the part that protrudes also have to be square, and Rav Papa is coming to add the tisura, even though it's not part of the bias, that has to be square in addition as well. So Taisus has two opinions about this. He says, Taisus says, Yeshe Merabin El B'mokam Ashavon. The real part of the tefillin as well is the base, and that's the only part that has to be square. And Rav Papa is coming to explain what the Braisa said. But then he said, V'shem Etzar Chabatim Rubon. Maybe the ketzitza, the part that protrudes, the box, that also, what we call the box, also has to be square as well. Not only the tisura. We're machmir, that the stitching, the base, and the bottom all have to be square because the machlok is so many different opinions. The Shulchan Aruch over here tells us that all have to be square. So he says, tefillin shol yad, tefillin bein shol rosh, bein shol yad, alachim mish mishin, eshi merubos, betafron, ubalachson, dehainu shi ribuan mechuvan arko kerochbo. So the length and the width have to equal each other, and then he tells you that diagonally it also has to equal each other, the hypotenuse, because it has to be a right angle with one another. So in order to accomplish this, though, the problem is you have that ma'varta, you have the part where the ritsua runs through. So that's why in all of our tefillin there's a notch which sets apart the place where the ritsua runs through and what is the base of the tefillin. That notch is critical because that allows the base to be square and the ma'varta is separated as something else. So the base is square, then you look at your tefillin, you'll see the stitching around sewing the two parts of the base to one another is a square with the 12 stitches that we mentioned. And then the bias itself has to be length and width has to be square as well. The Ramah writes that the height of the bottom, No one ever mentioned that. Sounds like it doesn't have to be square. That's already an observation that's made by the Rambam. But in Kisvei Ari, they say that that should also be square. That should have the same the length and the width of the batin. So there are some more makbid that not only should it be length and width should be the same, but that it should be the height as well. The problem is the Rambam quotes this halacha twice. The Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tefillin says in quotes that there are 8 halacha l'moshe misinai by Tefillin, more so than probably any other mitzvah, and one of them is that it should be merubos. Okay, so and obviously, if you don't have the halacha l'moshe misinai, it's pasul. The Rambam says m'shina achas me'en pasul. But then the Rambam quotes from a Mishnah Masechtas Megillah. Look back at the Gemara Menachas Lamed Hei Amid Aleph Ois Dalin. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah Masechtas Megillah. Maybe this is in the middle of the third line. Maybe this is a proof. I'm sorry, we could bring a proof to Rav Papa that the tefillin have to be square from a Mishnah Masechtas Megillah, which tells us how ha'ois tefilaso agula sakana ve'ein ba mitzvah. If you make your tefillin round, it's dangerous and there's no mitzvah. What's the danger? So Taisa says it means your tefillin won't protect you because you weren't yoytzei the mitzvah. So you're not entitled to the protection of the tefillin. Rashi says no, that it's because if it's square, it's point. If it's not, if it's circular, it could even be pointy. In which case, if a person falls, he could get damaged by the tefillin. So Amar Rav Papa, no masnis and Davida ki ameguza. No, the mission is not talking about that it has to be square. That's not necessarily the same as what we said before. It has to be square, in which case it would be redundant. Why do we need these two sources? Well, this is talking about that it shouldn't be pointy. Meaning, not that it has to be square, but it's this is just telling you, your tefillin shouldn't be sharp, so that if you fall, you could impale yourself, chas v'shalom, with your tefillin. But not necessarily that it has to be square. That was halacha l'moshe misinai, which was in addition to that mission of Masechtas Megillah. All right. So it's the kind of the mitzvah. The problem is the Rambam quotes this. The Rambam says in Perek Dal of Hilchos Tefillin, back at Oisid Aleph, Ha'oisid Tefilasa Agula Ke'egoiz, you make it round like a nut, ain't bar mitzvah klal. Obviously, the Rambam said earlier, it has to be square. So obviously, if you make it circular, that's no good. This Rambam implies, if it's anything less than a perfect circle, that it's kosher. Meaning if it's an oval, that would be okay. But or certainly if it has rounded edges, it would be all right. But the earlier Rambam told me it has to be a perfect square. Well, which is it? Can it not be round? Does it have to be a perfect square? So Reb Chaim suggests what the Rambam is saying is that the Rambam is talking about two different parts of the tefillin. He says the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Tefillin is talking about the upper part, which we usually, you know, the parts that we view as square. That, of course, halacha l'moshe misinai has to be square. What about the bottom of the tefillin? When I say that, I don't mean the base. I mean, if you flip it upside down, there's that white part of it. It's not even blackened. We don't blacken it. It's that white part of the tefillin. You know, the bottom. If you turn the tefillin upside down, there's a part that sits on your head. Yeah. That part. That's what the Rambam is discussing in Perek Dal of Hilchos Tefillin. That can't be circular. That also has to be flat. If it's a circle, then it's a sakana. What's a sakana? Not only ain't bar mitzvah, because it'll be sticking out of your head. It won't be resting on your head. If you have the bottom of your... Everyone know what I'm talking about? Or do we need a visual? Huh? If you have your tefillin, you know, it could all be square, but the base goes like this, it's going to be sticking off your head. So first of all, it's not resting on your head. Ain't bar mitzvah. And it's a sakana. What's a sakana? Now if you fall, what's that part of the head? What's the part of the skull? The softest with the baby? The fontanella, that sits, where tefillin sits near the fontanella. If you fall, so that's what Rashi says, then it could poke through his head, impale him, chas v'shalom. But we're not talking about the tefillin itself, you know, the surface of the tefillin. We're discussing the bottom part that rests in your head. So the Rambam says, ein bar mitzvah, if it sticks up too high, and then it's not resting in your head, and it's a sakana. And that's actually how Rashi learned the Gemara. So the Reb Chaim is just saying the Rambam is really echoing the Rambam. However, Rashi. However, other Achrayim, the Tshuva from the Chesed Lavram, and it's quoted by the other Paiskim, claim, no, the Rambam is discussing two different cases, but it's not the bottom part of the tefillin. It's all with regards to the upper part of the tefillin, the surface of the tefillin. But the Rambam is talking about when you first make it, it has to be square. That's halacha l'moshe misinai. What if over time it becomes dulled? That's what the Rambam is discussing in Perek Dal of Hilchos Tefillin, that's all okay until it becomes a perfect circle. That's no good. But if it becomes dulled, to the degree where it's not still not a square, but it, you know, bichlal circle, loba, it hasn't come to be a circle yet, that would still be kosher. And therefore, you wouldn't have to fix tefillin that has lost its square shape. So that's perhaps reflected. That's why the Shulchan Aruch goes out of its way. Look over here, Ois Tes, in the last fourth, third line. Shulchan Aruch says, Asam Rubos, V'achazman is Kalka Ribuon. You made it square over time. It lost its shape of a square. Yesh Misha Oimer Shetzarech L'Rabon. There are those that say you have to fix the square. Who disagrees? Of course you have to fix the square. No, maybe the Rambam disagreed. Maybe the Rambam held that when you first make it square, even if it later becomes round, you really don't have to fix it unless it became a perfect circle or close to a perfect circle. But if it became an oval, that would be all right. We don't paskin that way, though, as it says over here in the Shulchan Aruch. But when a person makes his film the first time, we're more careful that it should be a perfect square than later on, because the Rambam held maybe that it has to be perfect square at the beginning. Later on, if it becomes a little bit more dulled, we will try and fix it, but it's not as severe, not as serious as when you first make the tefillin. How much do you have to fix it if it becomes dulled? So it has to basically have the shape of a square. Again, our tefillin, we've mentioned in the past, we don't have to use instruments to measure that it's a perfect square. If it appears to us to be square, that's enough. So too, even if your corners, the edges of the tefillin become a little bit dulled, if it appears as a square, that's kosher. If something happens in the middle, that's less boilate, less obvious. So on the corners, it's more obvious. But if it more or less retains the shape of a square, so then that would be kosher. Two other points with regards to the tefillin that are very important. The first is, how big do the tefillin have to be? We discussed it has to be square, but how big do they have to be? Oftentimes people are traveling, they want to get a smaller pair of tefillin. You might have seen an old... decades ago, people had smaller tefillin, then it became a little bit larger. Now we've come somewhere into the middle. We have some average size tefillin. So what's the size of the tefillin? The Gemara never mentions how big the tefillin have to be. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch says, Sif Mem Aleph, Orech V'roch V'abatim Megovan Ein Lo Shir. There's no shir. But the Mishnah Berurah calls him the Shimusha Rabbah, that work by the Goyim on Hilchos Tefillin, that it should be two etzbos, two thumbs length. So according to Reb Chaim Noah, that's 4 centimeters. According to Reb Chazon Ish, it's 5 centimeters. Yeah, but what? What has to be 4 centimeters or 5 centimeters? The base or what we call the ketzitza, the box that protrudes? Again, so that's a machlokas achronim. Probably depends on that machlokas harishonim that we had earlier. Is the tefillin just a bias, or is the tefillin include the tisura that it all have to be one skin or not one skin? We said Ramachmer to make it one skin. If that's the case, we should enjoy the kula of at least of the tisura is 2 etzbos. It's 4 centimeters, let's say the Chazon Ish, 5 centimeters by 5 centimeters. So then that should be sufficient. So that's how the Mishnah Berurah concludes. He quotes this machlokas achronim. Where's the 2 etzbos? In the box, in the ketzitza, or in the tisura, in the base? And he says, we're makel to make it in the base. Chabad is machmir, that the 2 etzbos has to be in the box. So that's why if you see Chabad tefillin, sometimes they're a little bit bigger. Because they're chayshesh for this shear of 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos in the box, which case the tisura, which is the rim around it, the base behind it, beneath it, has to be even bigger. So that's why the tefillin are a little bit bigger. But really, you can make it, the shear of 2 etzbos by 2 etzbos is shimusha rabba. The Gemara never actually says a shear. But the Mishnah Berurah over here cautions, as do many seifrim, that don't look for a small pair of tefillin to travel with. Because the parasha, that means the parashas are smaller. That means everything is smaller. And the smaller you get, more difficult it is to make everything kosher and keep it kosher. So he recommends not to commission a separate pair of tefillin that's particularly small. One final important issue, critical issue, with regards to the tefillin, is that the Gemara said earlier, on Ois Dalin, Gemara Menachos Lamed Hei Menachos, it's only one line, but the Gemara says at the end of the first line, Omar Abaye Shin Shel Tefillin Alech L'Moshe Misinai. That there has to be a shin on the tefillin shel rosh. Why? And we put 2 shins on either side. Why dafka a shin? So the Beis Yosef says, because we are more or less put on tefillin 300 days out of the year, excluding Shabbos and Yontif. So shin is gematria 300, that's why shin. The Baal Turim on Chumash and Parshas Kisavo says it's for a different reason, because the Pasuk says, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yaru Mimecha, the name of Hashem will be written on you, and they will fear you, and that refers, the Gemara says, Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh. But Kishem Hashem Nikra, so Shem is Shin, Yud K Vav K, the Shem Hashem, that's Yud, and Nikra is a Nun, that spells Shin, Yud Nun spells Shin. So that's she Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha, and that's Eilu Tefillin Shebarosh. So that's why, perhaps, the letter Shin on either side of the tefillin, but of course, it's Halacha L'Moshe Mi Sinai. But even to add to the to the complications of this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, the Rambam writes over here Ois Tetzvav that from the fact that you have to write a shin on the tefillin, that makes the tefillin like kisvei hakodesh, and therefore it has to be made, the bottom of the tefillin, which are the klaf of the shin, have to be made by a Jew, and perhaps of a lot of the halachas that we have with regards to preparing klaf, because now the tefillin shebarosh are like the klaf of the shin. A klaf of what? Of one letter? No, the answer is because there's a yud on the tefillin, shel yad is a yud, and the back of the shel rosh is a dalet, which spells out the shem shakai. So perhaps it's all part of the beginning of writing the name of the Ribbono shel Olam, so therefore the tefillin have some of the halachas of the klaf. So the Rambam writes over here, ois tezvav, ein ois in a tefillin ela Yisrael, shasiyasan kiksivasam ibnei hashin sha'oise ba'or. Because of the shin, that makes that elevates the status of the tefillin shebarosh, that has many of the halachas of Ar. Because of that, with regards to writing, so the Gemara has a rule in Masechtas Gittin, you have to form the letter. It can't be formed by removing ink around the letter, meaning it has to be written, not what's called chok toichos. You can't remove ink around the letter to create a letter. You have to actively create the letter itself. You can't carve around to create a letter. So too, because the post says v'kasav v'lo chokak, by get v'kasav v'asef v'krisus v'nasim b'yodah v'kasav v'lo chokak. So this shin also has to be created, perhaps by writing it and not by carving out around it. The problem is that's a machlokes achronim. Should we extrapolate from that halacha of ksiva to this shin of the tefillin as well? So that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes over here. Ois yudalin. That creates some difficulty in creating the shin, because the easiest way to create the shin would be to create a mold of a shin with an indentation and use the press to press it into the leather. The problem is what that really does is push back the background and allows the shin to remain. So that's chok tochos. You didn't form the shin directly. So one opinion in the Achronim, it's really already a Rashi, or Cheschayim, one of the Rishonim, that's no good, because just like the shin is part of Kisvei HaKodesh, perhaps, so it has to be formed like the other letters of a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Magen Avraham and the Taz not to do it, but then other Achronim, he quotes from Knesset HaGdol in the name of the Rambam Ipanu, and this is other Rishonim, he quotes, he found in Or Zaruah. The Mishnah Berurah is a whole long Bir Halacha, how many Rishonim he collected who hold like this, that we don't extrapolate that chumrah of chok tochos to the tefillin, and you can use the press to create the shin, which makes things much easier. However, most are machmir, like it says over here, like the Magen Avraham and the Taz, not to use the press. So because of that, the hardest part, the most labor-intensive part of making the batim is creating the shin. How do you have to do it? They scrape leather together to form a perfect shin. So sometimes, now I think is the more common, was told is the more common method, is they use a press to create a shin, they paint it, then they push it back in. So you see the shape of the tefillin, and then they pull out the shin with needles, with pins. But either way, that way you proactively created the shin. It's a chumrah of the shin. One final nuance of this shin is what the Tosfos tells over here, Maseches Menachos, in the name of the Shimusha Rabbah, Oisid Gimel, that on the right side, it's supposed to be with three legs of a shin. On the left side, the shin has four legs. That's our, the person who's putting on the tefillin's left side. Over here is it's a shin with four bars, four legs. Over here, it's with three. Where do we ever get a shin with four from? So Beis Yosef quotes something fantastic from the Smag, from the Gois HaSmag, that is because at the time the Deluchos were given, so they were hollow through and through. So which means that the shin was formed like this. Yeah, this was hollow space. My fingers were hollow space, and around it was stone. So how many bars were there to create this hollow shin? You had one, two, three, four. You had four bars that were there in order to create the hollow version of a three-pronged shin. You needed four pieces of stone. So to remind ourselves of what the luchos that we were given initially, which had four bars in the shin, so we put that on the left side. And then to remind ourselves of the shin that's written in the Sefer Torah that has three bars, so we have the shin on the right side. Just it only works for Rashi without getting involved in Rashi tefillin or Beinu Tam tefillin, because Rashi's tefillin, the parashiyos start over here and they go like this. So then we have the luchos, which were followed chronologically by the Sefer Torah. So it works well for our shita, you know, for the way we put on tefillin. It works well that the four prong shita is on the left, the three prong shita is on the right. Okay.
Shout out. And, is that?